of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dhyanti, Dhyanti, Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Karamam Sharanam Gacchami Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sala. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Sharanam Gacchami Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sala. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All beings are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Ramayana Arjuna Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sabha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By my compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By thy passion and endeavor that results in goodness. By thy compassion and mindfulness that proves this path. By thy passionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this repetition, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this repetition, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies or practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness. In the practice of pure attention. In the practice of ever-expanding faith. In the practice of constant devotion. In the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma. And I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity. And the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are tutors and suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Well, gratitude. Especially, I had one of those like magical practice moments this morning that I had to do with the Project Joy quote yesterday about dance. And I was doing yoga in that beautiful Carmen Pavilion. It's amazing out there.
That tree.
I know. And it's interesting because all of a sudden I just started dancing. And I was like twirling around and I opened my eyes and these deer. They just like went bounding like they were dancing with me. And I just like that beauty of just everything. And for me too, it's like I spent most of my life wanting to be someone to dance. And I didn't because conditioning always said, you're too awkward, you can't dance. And then finally, like, thanks to practice about 10 years ago, I just was like, I'm just going to go to a dance class and all I have to do is show up. Like, it was just like practice. And so I feel like it all came together this morning in this beautiful, like, practice gratitude.
Yes. So it's such an there's something exquisite about it coming together. It's at the monastery. It brings us to gratitude because there's that quote. It's almost that divine guidance, right? Here's the quote. Here's the place. Here's the beautiful place. Here's the practitioner giving into that impulse from life just to celebrate and to be joyful and then to twirl and to be dancing and to be joined by life in that process.
Yeah.
In the bounding of the deer.
Yeah.
And just that presence to that life ebullience, right?
Right, and someone said something yesterday about how awareness is paying attention all the time, even.
Yes.
And there was just also that piece that it's like there was some awareness with me all of my life when I longed to dance, and it's just sort of like was there holding the space?
Yes.
Until I got.
And then we got to have that experience.
Yeah.
Yes. So yesterday we were talking about how awareness is always aware. Awareness is always the center. So every dance class that you ever went to, awareness was dancing.
Yes.
You just got to have it for yourself when that, whatever it was that said you couldn't dance, fell away.
Yeah, and it's
just press. Yeah, we dance, we sort of fall back into awareness, don't we? And it's a dance.
And it's a dance. Yes.
So. Yeah, and that leads us to that place of such gratitude.
Magic. It is magic.
Yeah.
And then, just the last little piece, I was recording about it, And I was just sitting out on the back porch, just recording that beautiful moment. And I don't know if it's real or not, I don't know if they exist, but I swear I saw a yellow hummingbird. Just like running yellow. Do they? I don't even know if it's.
I don't know if it's a hummingbird, but I do think we have some yellow birds here.
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, then I've heard this mysterious fact that hummingbirds don't have a color. They take on the color of what's around them.
Wow. So who knows?
Who knows? In your reality,
it was a hummingbird. I didn't even think about that. Like, it doesn't matter. Really?
Yeah.
It's just that it was another piece of the monastery magic that got layered into it all.
Yes. And the magic being that it's that the environment that elicits the presence and the awareness that brings the awareness of that delight and the participation in that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Magic is here.
Thank you.
Rebecca.
Oh, I appreciate that a lot. And I'm looking at a new layer of some old karma, and I'm hoping
new layer. Okay.
And I'm hoping to get some ways to practice with it. So it's around kind of two Enneatype type karma that kind of is always looking out there and in sort of dismissing the need that's here.
Mm-hmm.
And
so looking out there to fulfill needs and not looking and ignoring the need here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the new layer is sort of like this. There have been lots of things dropping in recent weeks and months, that projects and things to do that feel like they've been dropping in, there's been a sense that if it's not going to benefit everybody, it's not worth doing. Like, I can't find that creative energy or any energy to do it if I can't see how this is if it's just going to benefit me, it's just not what I'm doing.
Yeah. So it's the contrary reflection of the process, right? So that content is a reflection of the process, which basically says everyone else is important, so you have to use all the life force to cater to everybody else's needs. But this person is not worth it.
Yeah.
So that no life force can be expended to celebrate or express what's here.
Right, right. And as you're saying that, what dropped in is that the illusion of a separate self gets reinforced so constantly and deeply because there is no someone else and there is no me.
That's right.
You know, and so that initial, you know, veil that comes down of, well, who's this going to benefit? Is the bamboozle right there? Because that contextualizes a them and us, me.
Exactly so. So that's such an important awareness, right? That the very notion, that belief that benefiting others is important, is actually what is the dividing line between me and the other. And so the illusion gets created, right? The world of opposites gets created. If it doesn't benefit them, then there's no point in doing it. And because there is a them, there is a me.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I find myself in this place of no energy then to do this. So let's just take so I made this commitment to re-listen to all the recordings of seeing with the eyes of love, because it felt like there was something there for me. And I noticed, like, 3 weeks into this commitment, nothing. I hadn't listened to a single episode. And I was like, okay, that woke me up when I realized that. So I put it on my commitment, whatever, and there. And so now I've been doing it. But there was another part of that commitment that's just not happening. And it's to write, to kind of glean and write some stuff around that. And I cannot find any, I can't find any willingness or energy or whatever to do that, because it feels like there's, well, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
you know? So I sort of get stopped, like, you know, when I go to do that.
So there's no energy, because even though you know that you have this commitment and you have been listening to it for a while, and then you realize that you haven't.
No, I haven't, and then I start to start.
Because there's that awareness, oh, there's a commitment that I've made that I'm not going to keep to. And so that's a flag.
Uh-huh.
And noticing the flag, and yet also noticing that there's a lack of energy to actually do the creative part that's associated with that process.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So what do you see? In other words, have you paid attention to the process of unwillingness?
Yes. Yes. And it can come in two forms. So one is kind of the, what's the point? There's not going to be any use for this. So there's no practicality.
Mm-hmm.
So
it has to be practical.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And
useful.
Usability. Usability, yes. Mm-hmm. And the other is, so there's one punch. And then the other punch is, I don't know that I really want to do that. Sort of, I can feel it in my body as I'm even pointing to it. It's just this little, you know, depression. It's more of a dismissal, you know. So I can't really claim full-blown depression, but it's just a,
So something that points you to a sense of something being depressed, suppressed, repressed.
But dismissed is more, a lot more of those.
And is it your, in your experience, is it truly just that life decided this is not what it is interested in, or do you suspect that there is a process of hijack by conditioned mind?
The latter. Uh-huh. Because I see it in other places too.
Uh-huh.
like if I'm going to go for a run, if there are propane tanks that I can check along the way,
mm-hmm.
or I can go check the vehicles for mice, then I'll be much more likely to do the run.
So that's for you. It always has to be a task along the way in order for it to become useful.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because sometimes it's worth it. You know, it's just that I can't yet count that I'll show up for just.
Well, you know, you just said what you're probably going to practice.
I'm feeling scared. So
well, now you're going to have to go for a run just for her and never do a propane tank for her. Right? Because it's simply a movement that you have to practice.
Uh-huh.
We have to cultivate that experience of this person is important. I'm going to do this for her. What would she enjoy? What would feed this life expression? Right? And it's not an effort. It's like, I'm not going to find the energy to get in gear to write this thing. That's a content fault,
yeah.
Right? Because it's not going to work. Because
yeah.
It's coming from the same place that is stopping us from having the life force. If you feel like you have to push past the resistance and move into that place where you have to solve it and feel happy and
So I know that doesn't work.
Yeah.
But you got a little bit drowned out by all the protests. I was doing my best to keep it, because I heard you say something like doing it for her.
Right. So it maybe just as simple as sitting and seeing what would you enjoy, what would it be fun to do.
Uh-huh.
What drops in to be fun to do. Let's just do what's fun. Now don't tag on the propane tank. tag on the chunk of fruit while she's on the way to eat an apple.
Uh-huh.
Just to watch that process by which it gets hijacked into utility and not fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, so it's one of them is it's such a waste. You're there anyway. You're right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's expanded awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, that's hard. There's one other way to do it, which is to find something like a plant that you're going to develop an intimate relationship with, uh-huh. that you're going to care for it. You're going to see what is working for it, or what it needs, or how you appreciate its beauty, because it's like the giant projection exercise.
Yeah.
Right. So if you can't find it because there's this obstructing this expression of life, then any expression of life can be your conduit to that.
Yeah. So go around it, and that's not Okay, I'll play with that.
Yeah. Well, but the danger in that is, of course, it's again becoming something else that has a need.
Exactly. It kind of feels a little bit like I'm shooting up just a little bit of the heroin. You know, I want to go, because the guy, I mean, the structures of this place help tremendously, you know, in terms of there are times we do tasks and there are times we don't, and you know, like that. But
and it's been co-opted, right? If you're running, you're not supposed to be checking everything.
I hear that. I know. Yeah, that's so true. So, yeah, that keeps me from doing a lot of the things that it tells me to do, but those things have kind of snuck in. So yeah, I'm going to go for that and practice with that and see what
happens. Just what would it be like to, first of all, know what you want?
Yeah, that's the biggie, really. Yeah.
And even a two-handed recording to get to understand what it is that makes her feel, what is she here that makes her believe she's not important?
Yeah.
That she's not worth it.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a great place. Yeah.
Jen.
So, boy, I can see a lot in that. A lot. And actually, I feel like, in an interesting kind of way, it relates to something I've been looking at. But what I saw mirrored for me in that conversation was that place of checking the propane tanks or whatever feels like that's what I want to do. In the sense of how do I say it? Like, otherwise there's nothing in it for me.
Oh, interesting. So I have to check the propane tank.
Like, that's what I want to do.
Oh, you want to
do that? That's what I want to do. Like, I really saw these two different places. Like, there's just that place where, you know, seemingly disidentified and just fun and, you know, having a good time and, oh, checking that. And there's not kind of that, like, agenda, right? But then there's that place of, okay, I could knock this out and I could knock that out. And I could take care of that and then that could go there. And recently in another setting, we were talking about the game of Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that where you move the little squares around and then you line them up all perfectly together and then that line disappears. And it's that kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh, like it's almost like a control process.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it's that just go for the run without checking, it's like, it feels like I don't want to do that. I actually want meaning, but it's an ego place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I feel like it relates to this place that I've been looking at of that ultimate addiction to being the I.
Hmm.
And the...
because that sequence of checking the propane tank while you're going for the run mirrors the identity. Without it, there's no ability to say, this is me.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, you might be pointing at the subtle level I'm starting to kind of look at. So an experience dropped in today that I was like, oh, that's a perfect metaphor for it, where my ear was really itching. Ooh, itching so much. And I realized I don't want the itch to go away. I want to scratch the itch.
Yes. Yeah. So in that experience of the ear itching,
mm-hmm.
there's the awareness that I don't want it to go away. That's actually not what I want.
No.
What I want is to scratch the itch, because that's the position of energy. Right?
The position of energy.
That's where you get something done.
Yeah.
Which is the same as checking the propane tank and not just being able to go for the run.
Right. It's like scratching me so I know I'm still there.
Yeah. That's where I am.
Right. I just got that image of those scratch and sniff books. And you scratch the little hot chocolate and the smell would start to come out.
Yes.
And it's like that, like, I'm still here.
Yes.
So, and it's so interesting, right? Because if the itch goes away, there, great. It's all completely fine. But in that I want to scratch it, it's so revealed as the ego process that it doesn't seem like it is, because of course I want to scratch the itch,
yeah,
right? I don't want the itch to be there anymore.
Yeah.
But when I'm given, you know, given the option to not have it be there anymore, it's like, no, I want to scratch it.
Yeah.
That's how I want it to go.
And it's interesting that I want to scratch it only arises with the possibility that it's not going to be there.
Only arises with a thought. Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Which, so that's what I think I saw in that conversation too, that same mirroring of like, so there's a suggestion to go on the, just go on the run, just for her. Well, I don't want to do that.
Well, because we say it all the time, that ego maintains its position by opposition to what is.
Yeah.
Ego is created by that,
mm-hmm.
right? So anything that is offered, there's always, what is not defines me.
Yeah. Right.
Because here's the option that wasn't in those two,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It can go away,
mm-hmm.
or I can scratch it.
Mm-hmm.
But that place of being with it,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Never offered.
Never offered.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a place of utility or a place of position. It's just
mm-hmm.
simply a place of acceptance of being with that, of
mm-hmm.
being with her scratching ear.
Right, right, right. I do think that's the big place. Because here's what I recently saw, was that, so that image of starving the karma, right? So not scratching the itch, right? So I saw so clearly that if I'm starving the karma from a place of, I need to starve this karma, I should start this karma, then that karma is being fed
mm-hmm.
in a
yes.
really significant way.
Yes.
Whereas if the karma is being starved, basically I think from what you're saying, that being with, that place of deep care and love, that's what's actually starving the karma.
Yes. So the awareness is that if you're
mm-hmm.
starving the karma from the place of I have to starve this karma, then it's actually fueling the karma.
It's just scratching it more.
It is, yes, from that place of the other position.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're with this, because it's always not what we have, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm with this karma from the place of compassion,
mm-hmm.
then what I'm actually cultivating is compassion, which
exactly.
is the starvation of the karma.
Exactly. Exactly. And so no wonder there's mm-hmm. been such a kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
To something that I can relate to that piece too of like, you know, here's this commitment, I make the commitment. And at least in my case, it's like I look at them on paper. They're not hard things to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just this subtle like, no, I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, what? Because that's what it is. That going to that place of being with is the ultimate dissolution.
Yes.
That it
yes.
cannot stand.
Yes. It's the ultimate dissolution.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're looking at the commitment, it's not hard, and then there's a place of, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You can either feed it by saying, you know what, we're going to do it, damn it, right now.
You can
go to what would assist this person to keep the commitment.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And that's the Aikido move of moving from suffering to compassion.
Yeah, that's good. Let me help you.
Let's look at this.
I know we want to. And you know what? I think for me, that place of like throwing the utilitarian things in there, that's a way to get me to do it without the resistance. I just saw that. So in other words, I don't really want to do that. Well, you know what? We can check the point and then we can check the stuff. And then it's like, oh yeah, all right, let's do it.
Yeah, so
it's still within the...
It's still within the karmic orientation, which is you can only get to do what you're committed to doing. It's being controlled. It's being manipulated for it to win.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I get something from it.
Yes. Which is what I get, what the ego maintenance system gets, is that the life force is not purely in service to love.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Right? It's diluted by
service
to ego.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow. I have an assignment.
Wow. Well, let's hope we have some propane tanks. We have to sign it. Somebody else.
I'll put that on my list.
Yes. Oh, mine. Thank you.
I'm having so much fun. We're on a practice weekend. And, just the listening, we start off that magic and then, listening to people explore from a place of awareness.
Uh-huh.
And, just this whole weekend, two groups, one-to-one guidance, you get delicious food, you get to contribute, you get to, work in the kitchen or, harvest in the garden, mm-hmm. You have an assignment to, at night, to practice awareness.
It's truly a practice weekend.
just rolling around in gratitude and love and... It's just so amazing. And, there's just so much. I've been looking at the process of addiction and what I was kind of hearing earlier, that ultimate addiction to believing that I'm an I, mm-hmm. that I'm ego. And
that's a very interesting way of saying it, right? The addiction to believing that I am an I. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, the other way I look at it is being in that relationship
uh-huh.
with ego is essentially being in a conversation,
yeah.
Which is where it gets tricky, because all of a sudden it doesn't feel like there's ego and there's me. It all just gets murky. It just all feels like...
You stepped into it.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and now the other thing I was hearing today, just getting clear about what is authenticity and what is ego, mm-hmm. and be able to make that choice. So the content I've been working with is caffeine.
Uh-huh.
And when I moved to the monastic setting, it was clear when I got here that I had an addiction to caffeine. So I worked with it kind of on and off, using structures. So not having it for a month, only having it every other day, and then something happened somewhat recently where I got talked out of the structure.
Uh-huh.
It was just one day. It was yeah, but it's Sunday, and we have our off day the next day, Monday.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then, subtly, I was having caffeine every day.
Uh-huh.
And then I could feel that place of, that's really common, and it can happen. That's where that larger place of the addiction ego is helpful. It doesn't have to be caffeine. It can be anything. It could be, there's cheesy potato dish. I'm actually full. But I'm going to have another serving because I'm promised I'm going to feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens, I'm promised I'm going to feel a certain way, assuming how I'm feeling isn't totally fine.
Yes, yes, it is the root of what keeps the addiction going.
Yeah.
The promise of an experience or a feeling that feeding the addiction gives me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But we don't get to find out if the promise is actually delivered.
Yes, we don't get to find out if the promise is actually delivered. Yes.
Or it doesn't get registered. I just watched it the other day. I had another cheesy potato dish. And the experience is how did you want that?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like somebody made me do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or I did that for something that actually wasn't for me.
Yeah. Isn't your experience, Scott, that once the attention goes to believing the conversation, believing the promise, and then acting that out, there's no consciousness.
Uh-huh.
That you're not there.
Uh-huh.
And so there is no, that the only registration that happens is the being that comes afterwards.
Uh-huh.
Not that you were there having the experience which made you register the fact that this is not the experience you wanted.
That's interesting. So I went for weeks, probably months of... it's so amazing to watch now all this time spent around these rituals, around the tea, and when I'm going to have it, and how long it needs to steep so that it's really... And then I'll have...
Deeply caffeinated.
Yeah, and even it's best to have it when you don't have a full stomach. Just all this... stuff, and that place of in not registering that I wasn't actually having the experience I was promised, I think was leaking in
uh-huh.
over time.
Uh-huh.
Because
yeah.
at some point it just got super clear, I'm being used, and I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to, I could just feel like, don't make me do this.
Yeah.
You know, and I love that place actually because, you know, so often when we say we're not gonna eat sugar anymore or whatever, we go immediately to this place of deprivation.
Yeah.
Oh my God, but I love that. And you're gonna say I can't be happy anymore. Yeah. You know? And I guess it's sort of like, well, whenever you're ready to stop doing it, it's fine.
Yeah.
So I did it for however long and then it was really clear, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's why we always say in practice, whatever it is, be conscious while you're doing it.
Exactly.
Because the consciousness will assist you to recognize things and see things that the story of deprivation or the story of attachment won't.
Mm.
Because we're not present.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you approach this within a practice structure.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a lot of presence that was being brought to the process of addiction.
Yeah. Which that being in that process of addiction. So there's another little addiction, which is, and it's all like the addiction is, I'm feeling great. I'm here. It feels like,
mm-hmm.
And then there's like, but I can't lose me. I'm missing something.
Yeah.
I need to, uh-huh. And the other little addiction is looking up stuff on the internet after the structure of the hours that we do that.
Uh-huh.
And it can be somewhat benign. It doesn't really matter what I'm looking up. It's like, I've got to look up something.
Yeah.
So at one point, I just like, I'm fine. I'm just going to record. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to record while I do it.
Uh-huh.
And there's this voice just saying, I have to do it. And then they'd be like, well, what do you want? I have to do it. I want to do it.
Uh-huh.
I have to do it. I want to do it. And then there was just something else that was, and then you could see this, I think, a duality being set up of like, I don't want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know if that was a duality, but there was a duality around if I don't do it, then I'm the good, right person.
Uh-huh. Wow, it's getting you at every level.
Yeah,
right?
If I do do it, then I'm bad.
Yeah.
And we just know how those work.
Oh, yeah.
There's just, so I would not do it. Oh, but you're losing out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get delivered that I'm the right person. I didn't even get to experience that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and what I hear you say, right, Scott, that in this giant experimentation, it's within the container of acceptance and love.
Yeah.
And presence.
Yes.
It's not that you're the bad person and you're trying to prove that you're not that. It's not that the addiction is wrong and you're trying not to be, you're trying to do the behavior that is good. It's watching it all, watching the process by which you're controlled and be made to do something, or watch the process by which you're controlled and maintain the addiction to conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're actually liberating yourself from.
Yeah, I appreciate highlighting that because I've done it the other way.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to do this. You know, and
mm-hmm.
you could just read the exercises of expanding the awareness yesterday, you could feel the awareness collapse. There's an identification. Mm-hmm. I'm in a duality, and it never works.
Yes, but you have to find that out for yourself.
Yeah, right. Even if I stop drinking the caffeine, I'm not free.
Yes.
Which was this next step. So I went, I actually didn't drink any tea because I just felt like it was cleaner that way for me.
Hmm.
I didn't have any tea for a month. And then I realized it was still setting up like tea is bad or something. And so I'm not free.
Yes.
If all I'm relying on is a structure to not do something, I'm not
mm-hmm.
free to choose it or not choose it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I brought in, I had tea for a couple of weeks without no caffeine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's the conversation we were having with Sherry about the spinach pizza and the cheese
mm-hmm.
pizza.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you prefer cheese pizza, you're not free. And if you just eat cheese pizza all the time and don't eat spinach pizza because you prefer
mm-hmm.
cheese pizza, it's not a free place.
Exactly.
But what we're always engaged in practice, is looking at the process that says, I don't like spinach pizza, or spinach pizza is bad, right? And getting to that place of what is it that causes that aversion to other than this?
Exactly. So it'll just use wherever you're at. So it actually tried to make having tea bad. Even so,
yes.
The first time I drank it, I didn't like it. The story was, you're adding something to the purity of life, which was my experience of having water.
Uh-huh.
You're flavoring this. This doesn't need flavoring. This is, you know, so like tea became bad. I'm like, what? That can't be true.
Yeah.
So just,
we actually sort of have a monitor.
So just got to see that.
Yeah.
And then get to a place of like, tea could be really delightful.
Tea could be really delightful.
Yeah. So this morning I introduced caffeine intentionally. Mm-hmm. So I had some, brought my recorder. And it just reminds me of what we talk about a lot, is like how rare it's been to have a direct experience of this chemical going in my body. Mm-hmm. Like how much story, how there's just a moment of tasting it, and maybe there today there's an experience of, I really like that bitterness, it's like a root or something. Mm-hmm. And then I watched everything else about that, you know, like, well, I have to have it in the morning because then I get all cozy and then I listen to my recording and it puts all that enjoyableness conditional on having the caffeine. Mm-hmm. When actually the only moment was just, I enjoy that taste.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so then it feels like all that enjoyable stuff is dependent on this thing, which is not true at all.
Yes.
It carries it way beyond that momentary experience.
Yes. It's such a clear statement of how the conditioned process operates, right? There's that moment of pure presence where you can taste the bitterness, and it's a sensation of pleasure, perhaps, or enjoyment, or however you want it, unlabeled.
Right,
the
at that time.
To the bitterness.
Yeah.
And then as soon as that gets taken over and constructed into the story of how all of that sense of pleasure, which was attributed to presence, is now attributed to a story of all these things that are part of that experience that is conditional on the content, which is the tea, rather than us knowing. So that's the bamboozle, right? Because presence gives me the experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's constructing an absence that is conditional.
Yeah. So the freedom to pay attention and have a direct experience for that, doing that, is the freedom to have it or not have it.
Yes.
And I can imagine I can get hooked back into it again. But it's going to be forever changed in that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just the last thing is, a long time ago, I did this smoking cessation class. I was the instructor on it. And what a common experience for people about smoking was it was a time to breathe. To breathe. And it's sort of like, why don't you just breathe? And pay attention to deep breaths and you have to have a cigarette.
Yes.
What if you just breathe together? And then could you have that same, it's the same co-opting.
Yes, it's the same co-opting. It is the same process we're talking about for Jen. There is no I.
Yeah. Yeah.
At that moment.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately the addiction that you started with, which is we let go of that in order to have the experience of presence.
Yes, it's the trading the lead for gold.
Mm-hmm. Trading the lead for gold.
Yeah, and I'll do that every time.
Yes. And you're joyfully and willingly trained to do that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that just reminded me too, real quickly, that that place of getting out of the story, which allows all of this to be available, has been being practiced all along. Every time I showed up for a commitment, every time I put my hands up in the group, that was all getting out of the conversation and allows for this experience now.
Yes, exactly. So that we're always training in the process of not attending to the conversation, no matter what we do. And if we practice that process, that becomes available to us no matter what content we're applying it to. And because we're practicing that consistently, then the experience of presence becomes much more available.
Wow. It's really cool. It's magic.
Magic. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Karen, and then come around.
Well, I was doing our attention awareness homework.
Mm-hmm.
And just noticing how all the senses are so acute, I guess, or so.
Senses are acute.
It seems like I could look over on that ridge over there and see leaves on the trees at the top of the tree. I thought this must be eagle eye, or like I could just see little things that little detail way far away. And just watching what was, where attention was going and if it was on conversations and And it felt like on that I was walking down and I was sort of led into the meditation hut on a hammock. Which I haven't been in there for a long time. It usually has a private sign, but and to walk in and see it, because I've worked in there. I remember working in there, getting that. But just to smell it and see it and take it in, it's just so beautiful. And when I was in there, if there was like an impulse or a possibility for the practitioner that dropped in, and you know, and it was just like, golly, I mean, I just never even considered that, and so this possibility dropped in, and I thought, well, so I communicated that. Because I knew if I left, I would never, I would let that go. Oh, that was nice, you know. I don't know. So anyway, I communicated that, and it was just, and oh, the other thing was, so when I was there in the meditation hut, and what's been going on for me a lot this weekend are, and not even just here, but at home too, are all these, beautiful, I mean, it's not nostalgic, but these memories that are flooding. And of course, when I'm here, there's these memories that are flooding of being here. I've been coming here a long time. And, you know, and it isn't like trying to reach back in the past. It's not like that. It's more like, kind of like listening to old recordings, where the old recordings inform the present moment.
Yeah,
like that.
Yes.
And so anyway, that was just my experience.
Yeah. So what I hear you say by my group like Karen, right, that if you bring your intention to attention awareness, then we have that experience of attention awareness, which is a heightened sense of participation, observation, detail, listening to life, feeling guided, going to certain places that you may not have gone to before, having possibilities drop in because the awareness is expanded and attention is on awareness, or having that experience. And part of that, perhaps I'm projecting here, is when we tune into here is very big.
Yeah.
All of what's the past and all of what's the future is contained in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So your experience of this place is every experience you've ever had in this place, all of that awareness being contained here.
Mm. Yeah, it is, and it so ties in with that that teaching from the guide on Friday night about the track. Because that has just gone in so deeply for me about realizing the misunderstanding being that I thought I knew the track I was on. You know, that huge misunderstanding of, and so if I don't know the track I'm on, and I don't, then it only leaves me in a place of, unless I want to suffer, of looking to life. That's all.
Yes.
It only leaves me there.
Yes. So if I recap the group, right, that the karma is we experience karma as this is the only way it is. I mean, we know, right? That's the word she used. Karma is the experience of knowing.
Yeah.
I know where this is going. I know where I'm headed. I know where this is going to go. And to be in that belief prevents us from being here.
Or I know what I'm supposed to do.
I know what I'm supposed to do. And it prevents us from being in the moment.
Yeah.
And if we really, really get that we don't know, then the only place to look is here, to life, in this moment, not to that story.
Yeah. And so for me, this weekend has been such good practice of that. Which I'm practicing. That's where I'm practicing right now. That's that's my work right now, is to keep just dropping everything and just being here no matter what, and just waiting for the next step.
Keeping attention on awareness. And then discovering that possibility.
Maybe you end up in the meditation.
In the meditation. Feel that sense of being here. Just here. All of it.
That was my homework. Thank you.
Something came up, but when I raised my hand, something came up too. I want to just note, which is when I'm in a group like this, the conversation is don't raise your hands because you're not part of the retreat. So let people who aren't usually here raise their hand. And I didn't fall for it. Do you know what I mean? It was just like raise your hand, because all of that puts me in a position, and is one of those defining things. This is who you are. This is who they are.
This is who you are, and you're not part of the retreat.
And I'm not part of the retreat. So it was just interesting. Just in raising my hand, all that went on, and I saw it, and I thought, I'm just raising my hands.
You're present on Sunday morning, participating in this group.
Right.
You're here because you're here.
Yeah.
I mean, you belong, or you get to say what you get to say because you're here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also thought, and if it's better for other people to be called on, they'll be called on.
Yeah.
It's not up to me. That was just really easy to see.
Yeah. We don't have to leave anything instead.
Right. So, I also saw that I was raising my hands about initially, was this discussion about addiction. And I remembered what rose for me was Sherry saying, the power of addiction is that we get to feel good and bad at the same time. And when it was discussed about, you know, this is what addiction promises, what I was seeing for myself is, not only is there's a disappointment that it doesn't come, that it doesn't happen, but what I was really seeing is the disappointment is part of the hook.
Yes. So let me make sure if I'm following you. The disappointment that not only are we promised that we'll experience something or get a particular feeling, but it doesn't happen, and the disappointment is also part of the process, and it's the hook.
Yeah.
Say more about that.
Well, I'm not sure if I can, but. Well, for one thing, the wanting creates in me, and then the not getting creates in me, and the disappointment or the self-censure creates in me. But what I was also seeing is that, it's like putting something in a slot machine, and you don't get a jackpot, but next time.
The wanting.
Yes, because in psychology, the strongest addiction to like working with a machine is a random response, a random jackpot. And so I just was seeing that the disappointment is also saying, but next time, this time it didn't work, and it just hooks us right again into next time.
Maybe next time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's how you make the loop back to the thing that you want, because the promise, that's the promise.
Yeah.
It's another version of the promise.
Yeah. Yeah.
The hope that the next time you come around and you try it, it will be a different outcome.
Right. And it's all focused on that. And what we don't see is that it all is reinforcing this being that's got to have that.
Yes.
And there's a problem if this being doesn't have that. And all of that is all caught up in that getting, not getting.
Yes. So there's a process of having the attention on the object that is desired, and the lack of the desire, the lack of the fulfillment of the desire, maintains the system, which is just maintaining the someone who wants that.
Mm-hmm.
So if all the attention is on the object, then what we don't get to see is what's being maintained is the system, which is that place of not being present to, I didn't get what I wanted, it wasn't what I wanted, and I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
None of that is available because it's that closed loop where the attention is on the object, not on the fact that it's the system is being maintained.
It's how we stay in abusive relationships.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The abuse is a big part of it.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and especially this one.
Yeah. 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 Thank you.
Thank you. Cameron and then
the thing we had this week a couple days ago about the Project Joy to practice dancing for the fun of it was so fun, because that is something that I truly enjoy about as much as anything in the world is to dance. And I think it's because the track, one of the main karmic tracks for this being, is to be in the head and not the heart. You know, to be, to know, things like that. And you can't think your way through dancing. It's a complete abandonment to whatever the music is presenting. And to me, as I look at it, it's kind of a metaphor for life. You know, it's what's in the moment, you know, so this song is not the same as this one. And so your body just flows with what's there. And I think there's just so much joy and pleasure in that abandonment of having to figure anything out. And to be able to just be, and not only just be, because the have to be in your head has been something that has prevented me from expressing myself very much. Because it might not be right, or this or that or the other thing, but for some reason it doesn't seem to prevent me from expressing myself when I'm expressing myself with music.
Probably because there's no sound to express.
Exactly.
So that place that you're talking about of dancing is to be completely embodied. There is no mind operating, so there's no self operating. And so there's no self consciousness operating.
Right. There's the music, there's the rhythm, there's the beat, and there's joining it.
There's being moved by it, you could say.
Yes.
And so it is a metaphor for life when you're not having attention on the transition process. There's just the ability to be with all that is without having to figure it out, without having to be right, without having to be, I don't know, self conscious.
Anything, yeah. And the conversation this morning about several conversations about having to have something purposeful in order to want to do something, that is something that's very much a part of the karma that exists here too. But there's nothing in dancing that's purposeful.
It's a complete abandonment.
It's a place where, you know, there is no purpose to it. No, you do it for fun. Because it feels fun. It feels enjoyable.
And I love what you said, that the pleasure, the joy, the sense of freedom we experience when we're not controlled by conditioned thoughts. That's the experience of being alive, because when we're attending to the conversation, all the life force is going to that system. There is no energy to be embodied or to be present to that movement, that energy of life that's moving through us. And so yes, it's such a sense of relief when we can let that go and move and choose to. Well, and I would project too, right, Cameron, that something like dancing that gives us joy, that we have to keep doing it in order for it to be that place where we experience life. It's our experience of being alive, which is our touchstone to how can I practice touching into that experience in whatever I'm doing.
That's right.
Running and checking groping
technique. I think this is new, kind of being conscious of that metaphor. Is kind of a new realization of dancing. So I think that's absolutely right. I need to get out dancing more often and actually, you know, embody that experience of being just freely in the moment.
Yes, embodying the experience.
Abandoning, it was abandoned.
With abandon.
Abandoning ego.
Yes.
And identification.
Yes.
And just being, expressing what's there in the moment.
I remember an email class response from Sherry about some person who wasn't able to maintain a schedule. And what she said was, you first sit, then you dance to make your breakfast, and then dance while you make your breakfast. and then dance while you do working meditation, and then dance while you do lunch, right? That you dance your way through your day. But it, metaphorically speaking, it's having that sense of not being, your life energy not being controlled by the conditioned conversation that you can't get things done.
Yes. And when I did the Socratic female class, there was something to begin with, you know, you have to present an issue. And very quickly, it moved into something that I experienced as fun or joyful in the awareness that happened. Mm-hmm. So then the focus became fun, and the last one, my last guidance was, well then, I guess you better just work on, the word work was there, work on continuing to have more fun. And I thought, wow, I've never had that in my work assignment. Wow, that is great.
And work in that sense, not co-opted in the ego sense, but in that sense of life work.
Yes. Right? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Anna.
I'm having an interesting experience in the process of breaking the addiction to conditioned mind. Last week we had a big retreat here, and it was an experience of really concretely being called to something bigger than me in that very tangible way. Mm-hmm. And the experience was spending more time in a conversation of encouragement and support than in the negative conversation in conditioned mind. Mm-hmm. It was just that kind of, as much as I could bring to it, that second by second feeling, the feet on the floor, the hand on the door handle, the feel of the broom in the hand, like that. And I just noticed that in the transition, the addiction is fighting back. Mm-hmm. And there was an experience yesterday of going into something where I could feel that there was a takeover, and instead of saying that, somehow stayed in it and got to see the trajectory of that, where it the momentum is moving more towards isolation than the assistance that there was the impulse there to ask for. Mm-hmm. And so just to recognize that and say that, and, you know.
So let me reflect and really catch up with you. So the last week there was a freedom property that required a very tangible and concrete level of all hands on deck, we need you, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so that life force showing up to be in that presence.
Yes.
And then watching how that life force is supported by a conversation of encouragement.
Yes.
That yes, it's hard, it's taxing, but it's doable, and let me support you through that process. And then noticing that in the transition from that, the addiction to the negative conversation mm-hmm. is starting to build more momentum.
Right.
And that you went into something yesterday that was, that you were aware of that addiction, mm-hmm. but instead of calling it out and asking for support to exit, there was a staying in it. And you got to watch the trajectory of that.
Yes.
Because I project that pattern is very familiar.
Yes. Yeah, the pattern is very familiar, and also there was a couple of things about that. One, I got to see the bamboozling in the way that the addiction was trying to reassert itself was the ego was pointing to all that presence as the reason that thing yesterday didn't go well, and so that's the reason I need to look to it again.
Okay, well, I'm going to rewind you, but catching up. That all that presence from all that time ago is the reason that what happened didn't go well?
Well, stopping looking to it is the reason that thing yesterday didn't go well, even though it didn't go well because I was
looking at it.
now it's telling me because that
you were your fault for not listening to me, which is why things are going well, but you're aware, you got the fact that it was because you were referencing it that it didn't go well.
Exactly, but now it's saying to the control mechanism, you need to look at me even more closely, so just to recognize that. And so last night it was one of those experiences where it woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning ranting and raving, and which is always a characteristic of that trajectory, right? So okay, here we are.
Here's where I am in my process. From the time, right? Blame, now anger. Mm-hmm.
Ranting and raving, justifying, explaining, I am right, and making a case. Okay, and so, I just started saying out loud, I choose unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
I choose unconditional love. I choose unconditional love, and just kept going. And to move into that place of what's animating and guiding this moment is what was animating and guiding those moments that felt so joyful and expanded, and that this isn't a mistake, this is for me, and it's a gift, and so I want to be here for it.
Mm-hmm.
And until I could feel that.
Yes, so part of what we practice with is knowing the trajectory of the conditioned process, that storyline, right, that keeps going, and we are on that track, that's how it's going to end.
Yes.
And enough practice with it allows us to know that that's where we're on, and then to reach for the mantra, right? I choose unconditional love, I choose unconditional love, and keep choosing it till we make the movement from being identified to when I'm truly disidentified, and all of practice is assisting me to recognize this is for me, I want to be here, this is the gift that has been given, it's for me, I'm going to practice with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is the trajectory of practice as opposed to the trajectory of suffering.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing gets put into that trajectory of practice and awareness, right?
Yeah.
So there's identification, and you can see how the identification goes. You can watch yourself in that process of identification. And because you've practiced, you have the ability to get out of the identification.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand also that disidentification is a process.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen like this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It can, but not necessarily.
Right, and that was the bamboozle that there'd been that getting into the momentum of being here, so that when I recognized the takeover, part of the takeover was, well, you should be able to just be here, because,
uh-huh.
you know, like, you can get out of this quickly, instead of saying, "This, I'm not getting out of this quickly," and asking for assistance with that.
Yes.
And so, to recognize it's a process that has different
flavors,
different rhythms to it. And also, it's that, like, I choose unconditional love, not look back. Just keep on choosing it, keep on choosing it, keep on choosing it.
Yes. Because I project that the choice to choose it is a learned, it's an act of faith.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And the devotion to it builds the faith.
Yes.
Because what you have experienced is if you ever look back, then you're just feeding the other process.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even when it's screaming, I don't want to choose it, choosing it, I can see that that's not me, I'm choosing it.
Yeah, that's not me, I'm choosing it. Because it never wants to choose
anything. It never wants to choose.
It never wants to choose anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Thank you, everyone.